Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You know, I was personally disturbed many years ago. Okay. I know this man well enough to call him and say, hey, I need a favor.
Yeah.
And this might have been 10, 12 years ago that I called him and say, hey, I have a family member who I want you to hire them as an intern.
Yeah.
And I have never talked about this publicly. And he said, yes. And they were flying around, one of the interns, Atlanta, Miami, whatever, on the jet, in the house, whatever. And then the internship stopped abruptly, like 3 or 4 months into it.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my family member, like, well, what happened? And they wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did it end? He wouldn't say. And years later, they finally came out, and this is a male,
yeah,
and said that Puff had said, come home, stay the night with me, or the internship is over. And they said, absolutely not. He said, absolutely not. And the internship ended. But from there, I was like, oh, like this is how it goes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Cowboy Kara. Reporting live for Everyone's Business But Mine from KNTY 4 News. I'm in my Cowboy Kara era, and y'all can't take it, okay? Y'all can't take it. Cowboy Carter came out on Friday. I'm living, dying, living again, having some heart palpitations. It's a little bit of a scare. Things are shaky for a minute, and then I'm back to thriving. I loved it. It's a hot summer's day. You can smell a grill and a freshly cut grass. Your boots want to scoot and you want to put a spur on them. I want to wear a dusty jean short and an old Budweiser vintage t-shirt. Like I'm loving it. I'm loving life. It's got me feeling like a little baddie. It's hot. You know, it's like heat, just like the heat of a southern sun. And I'm also just like popping a little bit of puss, just like a little bit, just like a tiny, tiny little bit of puss. I'm feeling a lot of emotions. I'm wanting to, you know, straddle daddy. And you know who made me think? My favorite song right now is Bodyguard. And I think it's going to be like, that's the vibe that I'm going to bring into the summer. And I thought, like, who would love this song more than me? My queen, Miss Corey Gamble, Kris Jenner's boyfriend. I bet he is coming up with a nice little 8 count to that. Did he can perform it on the edge of the bed with Kris, and she's like halfway through a martini, blackout, and you know, baby, baby, I can be your body go. You see it, right? Like, he's getting in. He's wearing, like, a silk two-piece pajama set. I'm thinking, like, maybe a champagne, maybe, like, a little darker, something like that. Like, a burnt sienna. You know what he does. This is an album about falling in love overall. But you know what? We have to change the subject for a little bit because... he'll have to excuse me for getting emotional. Love has not won. Love is lost. And it was officially announced to the shock of all of the world through her private Facebook account because she got rid of all her other social media because she was afraid about the parole officer coming to get her and her having to go back to the clink. Gypsy Rose Blanchard, okay? Let's say RIP to Gypsy Rose and Ryan. RIP to that fire D that he was giving her every night. And, you know, whatever the hell else they were doing. So Gypsy Rose said on her Facebook, "People have been asking what is going on in my life. I don't know if that's true. Unfortunately, my husband and I are going through a separation, and I moved in with my parents down the bayou. I have supported my family and friends to help guide me through this, and I'm learning to listen to my heart. Right now, I need time to let myself find who I am." And she's right. She's absolutely right. Because, you know what? It's getting a little bit warmer. You know, like I said, the jorts are coming out. You're cruising into Daisy Duke season, and listen, it's been a minute for you, girl. Respectfully. You ain't really been outside in quite a while. So I just think, you know, like, take the summer, see what happens, shake down, try the whole line of, you know, Lime-a-ritas. I'm sure they have a special flavor for summer, special edition. Check out Loverboys, I don't know. And then see what happens by, like, October, you know? My fear in this is that we know that Ryan is about to pop off and, like, tell some shit that he shouldn't be and otherwise just, like, be a menace to society in order to, like, we knew this was going to happen and he's going to be on, like, Dr. Phil or Hollywood Unlocked to tell his story. And, like, it's just going to be a mess. And it's going to be just, like, a true disaster. Nobody wants to watch it, right? So, you know, like I said, I've been saying, like, there's been a whole lot of synchronicity in my stories that I compile for the week, and we're about to hit, like, two other examples of men who should have sat there and ate their damn food and let their women that they attach themselves be the baddies that they are, you know? So we're going to have to move on to Simon Gwabadia, Portia Williams' now soon-to-be ex-husband. Oh, Lord. So it has been popping off all last week. It's been like ping-ponging back and forth. He's making claims. She's clapping back. He's clapping back to her clapbacks. The police are getting involved. The law's getting involved. And there's a man with a gun. I don't know. We got to get into it. Okay, so, you know, Portia filed for a divorce. We all know this, right? Simon, with his 59-year-old self, allegedly, has been going on Instagram, just, you know, random moments to just be angry, you know, and just be like, oh, whoever's on Portia's side needs to have a mental health evaluation or whatever the fuck he was saying. You know, just like, okay, Simon, it is 3:26 on a Wednesday. Do you have a call to make? A meeting to be in, a nap, even a nap would be better than this, Simon. But then he goes on to make all these claims, right? In his response to Portia's divorce filing, he makes these claims that Portia abandoned the home that they shared, but then came back with a man, quote, visibly bearing a gun for reasons unknown to him. And I'm not saying that that's not like a very, like, I would be deeply upset by that, but, like, it's just a report that he said for reasons unknown to him. It's just, it makes me giggle every time I see it. Simon also goes on to say in his motion that Portia has hired people, third parties, to force him out of the house that they shared. And also, like I said, that he that gunman that came for unknown reasons has come on two separate occasions to the home in conjunction or, you know, like with Portia. He also goes on to say that Portia, Miss Diane, her mama, and her mama's dad, boyfriend have forced themselves into the house, that on March 24th, they busted into the house to disconnect all the security cameras and were tampering with other situations. And that Portia's been erratic, unstable, threatening, harassing. She's been popping off at the staff at the house. And he wants to file a restraining order against her. So per Portia's side of things, she said that the trouble began like earlier this month, around March 7th. There was an incident where she was at the house, or she went to the house, and the gunman who was there for unknown reasons was there for her, you know, own safety, because Simon's been acting erratically. He's been having multiple people in the home. She has no idea there's a stranger in her house. It took a while to figure out, and that he has prevented her access to the home multiple times, and also has fled the country and allegedly is in Dubai. She said that she came to the house on March 21st and the 24th to get different things, some swim items for PJ, some stuff for herself. The cops were called on March 21st in order to keep the peace. And yeah, it's just a hot mess. I feel like Simon, if even half of these allegations about all of the like fraud and crime and what do we want to call this? Unfortunate interactions with the United States Immigration Services, because you keep forgetting that your visa has an expiration date and you stay years and years and years past that. Listen, is that an issue for me? Not so much, but it is for the United States government. So I would say, I would just like be keeping my mouth shut. Like, why aren't we going to the Joe Giudice school of, you know, interactions with immigration services? Like, why aren't we doing that? So, I mean, you might as well just go to the Bahamas now and belly up to the bar with Joe, respectfully. Because it's not looking good for you, sir. Do you guys remember when Andy did that interview with Joe Giudice and he asked him, like, do you feel like you did anything wrong? Do you take any sort of responsibility? He's like, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not a criminal. Like, Joe. And this was when he was, like, actively trying to stay in the country. Like, Joseph, Giuseppe, please stop talking. Oh my God. Moving on. Okay, so I have to make something maybe like a slightly clear to clear my own name. If you guys follow me on Instagram at Everyone's Business But Mine, it's a fun thing to do. One thing that I do on Instagram that I really never talk about on the podcast is Amy and TJ updates. Amy Roback and TJ Holmes, the couple who had that, last year they got caught. Grabbing tookuses when they were married to Andrew, what's his face, from 90210 or wherever he was from, and the other one, and they were from Good Morning America, and that now they're together, and now Andrew and Mary Lee, the exes of Amy and TJ, are now they're dating. And I gotta tell you, like, drop the OnlyFans, they look good together. They look real good. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that Amy and TJ have a podcast. Every week, here's my disclaimer. I don't and never have actually listened to this podcast. I just see the headlines and I'm like, girl, I feel like they specially tailor them to be like, whoever's writing these headlines, I need to send them an edible arrangement at the end of the year for being like, thank you for just telling me exactly what I need to know. Because every headline is like, oh, this is wild. And I know a lot of people don't get it. But here's my way to convince you that this is really funny. It's just like, it's one of those situations that, this really isn't a good explanation. Once you hop on the giggle train, you're just never going to stop laughing. And that's just where I'm at with them. Like, I've chosen to hop on the train they bing, bing, they stopped for me. I put my hand up. I hopped on the train and I've been having a gay old time. Okay. It's been fun. They are like, because here's the other thing. Like, you always wonder what happens after, right? What happens after these people blow up their lives and decide to be with each other? Does it work out? What happens? And then you find out on this podcast, it's not working out that great. Not that great. Like, they're struggling. They're struggling. Amy, especially, like, from the headlines, again, I don't actually listen to it. It just seems a lot like Amy is really trying to keep it all together. And TJ sounds like a dick, to be honest with you. Anyway, they've been having, like, some fairly big guests on their show. They had Tom Schwartz on the other... Oh, okay. I'm going to take that back. Because the next person is even worse than Schwartz. They had Marcus Jordan on... Which leads me to our next story. Marcus was on AB and TJ's podcast, and oh, let me just tell you a quick story. The last headline about Amy and TJ was that they hosted their first live podcast, and one of TJ's daughters came. I think she might be a teenager, and he sat there and cried while she looked at him in the audience about how hard his year has been. And then Amy compared herself to Elizabeth Taylor because of how often she gets married and divorced. And TJ looked at her and said, well, you're halfway there. Oh. Also, one time they admitted that they had like a serious drinking problem and that they had spent like well over $1,000, I think, on their Drizzly app. Which was the drinking, like an alcohol delivery service. Interestingly enough, they decided to go sober for Dry January. And like 2 weeks late, like a week later, the Drizzly app decided to like completely shut its doors. I'm like, well, y'all lost your biggest client real quick. But they would just like go on these little fun runs where they would run the city and then go to the bar with their friends. And then they'd, you know, get ready to go to out. So they drink more and then they go out to drink dinner and then they go to drinks after that. And then they'd basically just be drunk all day, and that they have been for months. And so that's dark. Anyway, Marcus Jordan was on their podcast and he was attempting to let the chopper spray. Like, you loser, loser, loser. Okay. While it is incredibly funny that Larsa's excuse for why she and Marcus broke up is that like she really wants to focus on herself like more than usual. Okay, interesting, because the relationship felt all consuming. Like, yeah, because you refused to leave his side, babe. You had a party when he didn't even leave the state. He just went to Orlando for 3 days back to his apartment, and you had a whole catered party for his return, upon his return. I mean, you really contributed to that, babe. But anyway, she's excited to have more fun in Miami. Like, I don't know. This just very much was like, anybody that Kenya Moore has dated on camera, basically. Like, it's just giving, I want a man. I don't want to be single on TV. And so, you know, the relationship conveniently starts at one point and conveniently ends at another. And then you got, you know, it buys you another, like, year, another season of being single, you know. So it just doesn't, like, look bad to you. Not to us. To you. Anyway, I keep not getting to the point. Marcus was on the podcast and he said that Larsa was looking for clout from him. And he says, I wasn't born last night. Rewriting history for clout is not cute. So funny how people change just to be part of a conversation that's irrelevant. Why give Shorty a heart when she'd rather have press? Ooh, that's nerve. Ew. First of all, ew, everything about what you just said, yuck. Ick. Gross. Secondly, using you for clout. No, 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 Marcus. We're not gonna beep beep. Let's back this up. Beep. boop, boop. No, sir. Your name is, and the first name that they refer to is your daddy's, you know? You're not even Michael Jordan Jr., sir. Like, what do you mean? You didn't even get the name. You're not even the namesake. So, using you, what do you do, Marcus? I'm like, honestly, like, what do you do? What do you do? I'm just, like, quickly, like, what do you do? So, while it is laughable to me that, like, Larsa spent all this season saying me and Marcus broke the internet with our relationship and people can't stop talking about us, and, like, she was right, but what she was saying was that people were, like, treating them like they were Travis and Taylor, when the jokes were, like, no, this wasn't, like, you guys having a headline and people in Page Six every 13 minutes. This was, like, fifth down the line and Daily Mail being like, oh, Lars is still dating that guy that she probably saw in the friends and family box at the arena in Chicago, at the Bulls arena. Like, you know, that's not really breaking the internet also. So, well, like I said, that is funny that you guys thought that this was really doing anything. The grab is Larsa. Like, we have to, like, I gotta be honest here. The grab is the fact that Larsa is going from a Pippen to a Jordan. It doesn't really matter which Jordan, unless it was Michael. The fact that it's not, irrelevant. It's just, like, kind of funny then, right? It's not you. It could be any Jordan, you know? So, nice try, though. Moving on. Diva down. We got a diva down. This is bad. Sheena Shea, welcome to the stage. So, Sheena, true Sheena heads have known for a while that she was involved in a thruple situation with bartender Stacy many, many moons ago, pre-Vanderpump Rules. And that involved her bartender, Stacy, who you know from The Hills and Vanderpump Rules, the girl really made the rounds. They were involved in a throuple after Sheena met him at a cigar bar that she was working at. John Mayer was dating Jennifer Aniston at the time. They're doing shots. They're really hitting off. Jen invites Sheena back to her place or their place, whatever. Sheena says no. However, later on in time, she meets John alone. And things get on and popping from there. She's living with bartender Stacy. He meets Stacy, and they're doing this, like, thruple thing. Sex is involved. And eventually, sounds like maybe Sheena got knocked out of the situation. That maybe John was more into Stacy, and then things got a little sticky from there, but that's neither here nor there. A couple episodes ago on Vanderpump Rules, Sheena talks about how she had been involved in a celebrity orgy, and in the confessional says, you know, let's just say at one point in time, my body was a wonderland. Okay. Obviously that circles back to us being like, oh, remember, does anybody remember when John fucked Sheena, right? So, according to, this is sad, girl. This is sad. Don't let him do this to you. John Mayer is, like, a very controversial character for me, for people. I have a very difficult time with this man. He is, like, truly my bitching and crackers. Like, I don't like him. I never will. He's up there with Ryan Reynolds for me. And just ever since that Rolling Stone article interview where he said that, like, he is, he thinks that black women are beautiful, but his dick is like, David Duke. He's got a David Duke cock or something, meaning he's not sexually attracted to black women, and likened his penis to one of the most famous Klan members of all time, one of the most notorious racists in all of America and the American South. It's really just been like over for me. I don't care how many little noodles you do on that guitar and how talented you are. I just can't do it. And I won't. So just over for me. Anyway, John Mayer apparently has been telling people that he's very annoyed because he never hooked up with Sheena, allegedly. And that he knows she's been telling people that, but that never happened. And he's just like super annoyed with the whole thing, wants nothing to do with her. Which is very funny considering his very bestie, his capital BFF, is none other than Andy Cohen. And that basically they were at a party recently and that he was like trying to duck and dodge her and avoid her at all costs. The thing is, the internet lasts forever. And so a Reddit user actually found a screenshot of a Snapchat story that Sheena had posted from 2018. In that 2018 post, it was a picture of a Star Magazine article about her relationship with John from back in 2009. And it's like a picture of Sheena, a picture of John. And it says, John's new gal. She's 16 years younger than Jen. And basically, it goes on to say that, like, stars learn that John is hooking up with aspiring actress Sheena Marie Jenkin, who he met in early April at a Beverly Hills lounge. Sheena, who turns 24 in May, served the sexy singer drinks at the Grand Havana Room, the same place where he celebrates 31st birthday with Jen. And John started chatting her up. Then it goes on to say, you know, that Shay was both shocked and thrilled when John asked her out. So I do say this is like a little bit of a girl situation because, girl, like, I just don't want people to have people like Drake, John Mayer, Michael Rapaport, I don't know, just like the demon men of the world to have anything on them. I believe Sheena, okay? Hashtag I believe Sheena Shay. I absolutely think this happened. And why he's trying to rewrite history is beyond me, but it's also like, ultimately, he's the bigger star. I'm so sorry. Probably get on Dancing with the Stars before you. But it's just like embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And I hate that for her. I do. Okay. Oh, Lord. Let us pray. We have to talk about Diddy once again. So, what, last month, I want to say, there was a gentleman named Lil Rod, who also, in the wake of the Cassie allegations, had also filed a lawsuit against Diddy. Recently, last week, March 25th, he filed an additional 25 pages of information from the filing. So, the original filing had Diddy trying to, like, making sexual advances on him, sex trafficking, drugging, raping, that sort of thing. Not necessarily him. He also included his son Justin in this, that there was, like, a shooting that was involved, that they kept very hush-hush, and, like, shit went down in a studio, and, like, he was, I don't know, something with him and Justin. I don't want to get into it, because I'm, to quote Lala, I'm not trying to get popped either. Okay. So anyway, in the additional 25 pages, he went into a good bit of more detail. We were naming names and naming drugs. Okay. That Diddy has an alleged love of something called pink cocaine, which is a combination of ecstasy and cocaine, that he would get from a gentleman named Brandon Paul. Now, this brings us to the raid that happened, oopsie, in, I guess, New York, Miami, L.A., coast to coast, L.A. to Chicago, Ibiza, New York, any residents that Diddy might have in the continental United States were raided, and raided real good. They took the shit. They took Justin and Christian Combs, which are two of Diddy's sons. They were in the Miami mansion at the time. Out of the house, in cuffs, backwards. They were detained. There were other people detained that were inside of the home. There were, they took the surveillance out of that house immediately. Okay? They said, we're going through this shit, and you're not going to see any of that beautiful bean footage. We're taking it. Thank you very much. And we're going to do, make it do what it do, baby. They trashed that house like crazy. Going through safes, safes that are like human size safes, going through drives, taking computers, hard drives, that sort of thing, ransacking the house. Brandon, okay, so during all of these raids, everybody's like, obviously, where the fuck is Diddy, right? People were tracking his private jet and seeing that it was in Antigua at the time and thinking, oh, maybe he's there. Maybe he's going to, oh, there was some other country that was coming up that maybe he was defined to as like an extradition country. Like, rumors were swirling. We were all very confused. Turns out the whole time, he actually was trying to leave the country, it seems, on a spring break with the girls. He's got these twin girls and maybe some friends. But the jet that was in Miami getting gassed up about to take them on a spring break vacation got stopped. And everybody got questioned. Spring break girls canceled. And one of the people in the entourage was a guy named Brendan Paul. He's 25 years old. Like I said, in that Lil Rod lawsuit, he says that Brendan was Diddy's personal drug mule. And as it turns out, in that Miami airport, he gets popped for cocaine and marijuana possession. Not a great thing because, you know, Lil Rod made this lawsuit came out and Diddy and his lawyers would be like, no, this is like a shakedown. This is absolutely untrue. He's telling lies, lies, the lies, the lies. This is just like cap on 1,000. But then, you know, like now these things are starting to come true, you know? Brandon Paul, at least that allegation seems to be the case. So it also goes on to say that plaintiff and the Combs RICO enterprise, there was a RICO situation going on here too, were rehearsing for something called Something in the Westival in Virginia, a festival, right? Plaintiff Jones, who's Lil Rod, personally witnessed Mr. Combs, Diddy, do a few lines of coke in his dressing room. Defendant Sean Combs wanted something called Tucci? T-U-C-I? Now, listen, I've been around the block a time or two. I don't know what that is. Tucci? Let me look at this up on Urban Dictionary. Okay, well, it's not an Urban Dictionary, but Vice, shout out to those white boys. They want to go to somewhere and see about things, right? So they sent a little pale man down to Colombia, and the ingredients of Tucci is, and I don't think I'm pronouncing that correctly, is ecstasy and MDMA, cocaine, oxycodone, and, oh, something else I'm forgetting. So it's a lot, girl. It's a lot going on in there. Okay, so apparently Diddy wanted this Tucci. Brandon didn't have it. He forgot it. So there was another person, a defendant listed in the lawsuit named Christina Corum, called Young Miami from the City Girls. Carisha, please. Apparently, Carisha then hopped on a private jet from Miami and brought it right to him. Right? Hopped on the plane right to Virginia. Okay? So the lawsuit is one of several abuse cases against Diddy, as we know. There's also the federal criminal investigation for sex trafficking that led to the raids of the homes. Basically, the Homeland Security expert says that based on the search evidence, they included, like I said, laptops, flash drives, anything that would connect him with those sex trafficking allegations. And also included in this claim is a man named Lucian Grange. He is listed in the RICO violations part of the lawsuit, saying that, like, basically involving, like, drug cartel, sex trafficking kind of stuff. So if y'all don't know who Lucian Grange is, his son is Elliot, whose wife is Sophia Richie. Ruh-roh. So, more on that later. Lucian is like ahead of a UMG. So if you guys are mad at who took down all the music off TikTok, you can be mad at him. You can be. That's a direct line. So there have been more stories, more people coming out with stories about Diddy. Most notably, Toure. Toure is a cultural commentator kind of guy. Like, you'll see him on a, you know, CNN, like a news channel, that sort of thing. He writes books. He's that guy. He's been around for decades at this point. So he went on the Joy Reid show, and he told a story about his cousin. So he said to Joy Reid, down to the Joy Reid, that he had a little cousin that was needing an internship. And he thought, oh, I know Diddy well enough to ask him for a favor, so I'm going to hit him up. He said this is like maybe over a decade ago, saying like, yo, I got this cousin. Can you get him an internship? Yeah, no problem. So he says the internship starts, and then all of a sudden, his cousin, his male cousin, by the way, quits. They don't know why. He doesn't want to talk about it. And like, time goes by, and Toure is asking his cousin, like, what happened? Right? Still won't talk about it. So then eventually he admitted to his cousin, Toure, that he got an ultimatum from Diddy saying that Puff had said, come here, stay the night with me, or the internship is over. And the intern said, absolutely not. And it ended. And from there, I was like, oh, this is how it goes. Okay, so to hear the things that went even further, potentially, with many other people, we feel like we've seen this coming. So very, very interesting that people are like, obviously, there have been many whispers about Diddy since his career has begun. Go down to Lipstick Alley. They've been talking about him for a long time now. So, but now to see, like, these whispers are becoming much louder, and now we have, like, people, like, reputable. I mean, I don't want to use the word credible, not to say that anybody has not been credible, but you know what I mean? Like, people who are, like, willing to, on the record, say things like this is, like, pretty big, I think. And I think the real beginning of the end, the crazy thing to me, well, okay, but actually before I start that, also listed in one of the, as part of the lawsuit, not to like expose anybody, but Lil Rod said that there were sex workers that had monthly stipends, Young Miami, aka Carisha included. There was a woman named Daphne Joy. Daphne Joy is, has a child with 50 Cent. 50 and Diddy have had beef for quite some time. Diddy, or 50 rather, has been vowing to do a surviving Diddy documentary since the Cassie lawsuit came out. We don't know. I don't know what's been happening, where he is in production with that. But there's been a lot of back and forth between now Daphne and 50, because he's like, oh, 50's very, very petty. Very petty. Like, lest we not forget, this man had a blog that was basically Perez Hilton, called thisis50.com, where he would troll the fuck out of people, worse than Perez at times, to be honest with you. So this man, like, you know, he's petty with a capital P, okay? Obviously, he had a lot to say, like, oh, I didn't know about this, blah, blah, blah. He tried to file, well, not tried to, he did file for sole physical custody of their child. Daphne comes back and says, excuse you, sir, you were also abusive to me, so I don't know who the fuck you're talking about, and lies you tell. How dare you try to take my child on top of that? So we'll be watching that space. What was I going to say? Oh, y'all, I know that not all of you guys like to lean into the spooky, the witchy, the woo-woo, whatever you want to call it. However, there's this white woman with a pixie cut and a blonde down, okay? She is, like, ice blonde little situation. She has been all over TikTok for her accurate predictions. She does YouTube. She's, like, a medium, psychic, whatever. And she not only accurately predicted, but down to the timeline, the Cassie lawsuit coming down with Diddy. Also, in that video, like, this is like months before the Cassie stuff came down, she's like, something's going to happen with him around this time, big shit. And that's like, really, like, exactly what happened, like, to the week, right? The bitch did it again. She said, I think this is not over with him. When the lawsuit came out, she comes out with another video saying, this is not over with him. I think something's going to happen with him late March, like, think around Easter. And then this shit happens March 29th, like, days before Easter. Like, how does she do it? Her name is Sloane Bella. You would find her. Listen, like, grain of salt, you guys. I've seen her say a lot of things, and I'm like, girl, what the fuck are you talking about? But you're 2 for 2 on this one, so I'm going to listen to her and see what's going on. What's going on with the going on. With that, you guys, we're going to scoot on over to the Summer House Martha's Vineyard recap. If you're not aware, I dropped some merch. Finally, you can find the link to the shop in the episode description. Thank you guys for those of you who purchased. I've seen that like some of your deliveries have come in. So, you know, shoot me a little Instagram story and let me see how it looks and all of that. Yeah, let's move on.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I think y'all giving her too much credit.
Yes, it is. Giving working girl.
I like that. I'm a good working girl.
You love working?
Yes! Who doesn't know?
You know what that means?
A harlot.
Sex worker.
You call me a prostitute, Bria?
I didn't know which was funnier, Bria calling her a working girl or Shanice not knowing.
Okay, you guys, let's get into Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Episode 2, Season 2. We're still shaking ass and swag surfing on the boat in the beginning of the episode as it pulls back into the harbor. All the way back to the house, Jordan says that she and Jasmine talked about their issues, right, on the boat. They've agreed to disagree, move forward in a different way, so they're all planning on turning up at the house tonight. And then for whatever reason, Nick squeezes Summer's shoulder. Like, he's sitting in the back row. She's in the passenger seat. She's riding shotgun. He goes, squeeze her shoulder. This is my hand. She goes, I know. So Summer's in the other car talking about how upset she is that she... No, sorry, it was Shanice. Shanice is talking in the other car about how upset she is that she didn't get dick before coming to the house. How long has it been for you guys? By the way, she's got Kim Zolciak, red Solo cup, and what appears to be a mostly empty bottle of rosé in her other hand. So, like, she's feeling turnt, right? She's got a roadie. She's asking the questions. When was the last time you guys slept with each other? Noelle says that it's been, like, since March for her, but Alex says it's been 4 weeks. But then he says, but I'm grown, so I don't look at it like that. Look at what, like what? See, this is why he annoys me. Like, what are you even, okay, you're trying to make her feel, like, it, yeah. Fuckboy is not the term for him, but it's like the only term that I have in my vocabulary, but it's not quite that. Like, he's a different brand of man that really bothers me. It just, like, he gets off on making women feel less than. And I don't know, maybe some people will think I take this too far with him, but I just, like, something about him just like really rubs me the wrong way. To say, I don't think about it like that. She just asked you when the last time you fucked was. Like, what other way is it to take? What way do you take it then? That's like an objective question with an objective answer. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, fortunately, Shanice is drunk. She doesn't clock it like I did. And is like, well, I love sex. I love it. Bryson's also in the car and he says in the confessional, I love Shanice. You know, Shanice loves dick. I love dick. You don't love dick. You're preaching to the choir. My hand is raised, okay? The house is going to have a decades party. Simon, we find out, is coming to the house, not anytime soon, not this episode, but Bria has not seen him in a month because they're now like fully long distance. She was living in Germany with him for a year, playing the watch wife, and now she's back in New York. He's in Germany. She says in a confessional that things are way better with her and Simon compared to last year. And I was trying to think, like, what happened with her and Simon? Because they seem pretty happy. But then they just played a flashback of, like, really, it was just, like, that time that Bria got drunk and she's slurring at Simon. And Simon's also drunk and slurring back at her. So, I mean, if things have improved since then great. I'm happy for you guys, right? Thank God for growth. And, you know, with a long-distance boyfriend, thank God for a vibrator. Preston's in a confessional. Oh, also, Amir checks in on Preston, right? Just like, no, really, how are you, you know, in the, you know, is your dad's funeral, the day of your dad's funeral, like, how are you doing, really? And Preston says, honestly, my first reaction wasn't sadness. It was just like, oh, this is like the reality of the situation. So Preston gives us more insight in a confessional and says that he thinks that he made the right decision by not going to that funeral. Because most of his life, his dad wasn't there. And when he was there, and his father, he and his father actually reconnected, he came out to him. Preston came out to his father. His father told him, I didn't raise you to be gay. And Preston told him, you didn't raise me at all. And that's how you check a bitch. So now with his passing, he's like, I just don't really feel the burden of, like, what happened. Amir, very good friend, like, he would have, he told him basically what I said. Family, you're not like bound by your family. You don't have to feel bad that you don't have a relationship with him or that you didn't want one because he failed you, basically. And a lot of parents will get off on this like, oh, well, I did the best I could as an out for really not like being there, whether it be like physically, emotionally, both, whatever, right? So then they go upstairs to give Nick a little glass of juice because, you know, while Shanice is like on 10, she's twerking on every inch of this property, every square foot that she can in a little thong bikini. God bless her. Nick is in one of the bottom bunks having a nice little drunk nap. Like he's waking up like, hey guys, they're like, you good, bro? He's like, yeah. he started his day with a morning beer. And you know what? You got to leave that to the professionals like Danielle in a summer house over the Hamptons. Maybe she could teach you a thing or two. Actually, maybe not. Anyway, the girls are downstairs at the pool and the hot tub, and they're all talking, making fun of Nick and how he is when he's drunk and how he's like, laughs. Like, he's like, this is such an old reference. I really gotta, like, upgrade him for new ones for, like, at least the 2000s girl. Not the early 1990s. But remember when there was like Steve Urkel and then there was Stefan Urkel, right? This is like an opposite situation where not that Nick is Stefan Urkel, but compared to who he is when he's drunk, he is, if that makes sense. Like regular Nick is Steve Urkel, but then you see drunk Nick and you're like, oh, maybe he was giving Stefan all along. Or this is like a best case scenario. More on drunk Nick later, though. So Amir then talks to Alex and was like, oh, what happened with your conversation with Summer on the boat? And Alex says, oh, you know, I feel like Summer may be clinging to the idea that we're supposed to be something. And Amir's like, oh, that's what I think, too, because like she was just feeling so left out. And it felt like you needed to care for her more than everybody else because it's like her. And then she's saying, like, well, it's me. And you're like, yeah, it's you. And she's like, yeah, it's me. And he's like, yeah, it's you. Like, basically, like, she's trying to make this into a situation, and he's like, this is really nothing, right? Making it seem like Summer is, like, really, really thirsty. And then he says in a confessional that the way Summer's expressing her frustration is about more than the invite, because women always get upset when they're in love. And this is where I have to hop off the Amir boat. Like, the dimples aren't good enough for this sort of talk. I also just, like, fully disagree. I don't think Summer is really into him that much. I think she feels disrespected because they had sex. I don't think it's, like, wrong, or I think things are getting conflated. I think she wants slightly more respect than the average bear because he's been inside of her. But I think people are conflating that with, like, she has feelings for him. And that's not true. Like, I do think if you've had an intimacy, you know, and they've seen all of you, you know, and all of that, and they've been, and they've felt, and they've experienced, and they've explored. And also, you're on a show with them. It's weird when you ice them out of invitations that everybody is going to. And I do also think that he's not telling the truth about knowing that she was in New York. And also, like, I think if she really had feelings for him, she would, I think it would just be a lot more obvious. Like, I really think she's really not sweating him that bad. But, like, the fact that she said it in front of everybody now gives Alex carte blanche, or whatever you want to call it, to sow these seeds of, like, oh, she wants me so, so bad. So bad. All of this, mind you, is over a picture that she took and sent to Jordan. Alex says in a confessional that he felt like because she took that singular picture that she couldn't trust, he couldn't trust Summer because he thought it was kind of creepy, and that, like, maybe he had been thinking it with his head and not, like, maybe his, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then he said, maybe if I had been doing that, then I would have caught some of these red flags. She took a picture of you. Like, let's be real here. I could see his point if two things happened. If one, she had posted that picture on social media and not send it to a singular one of her homegirls that you also know. Two, if they lived in the same town. But you're all the way across the country to be inside of me. I mean, maybe he's not specifically there for her, but, like, you know, while you're there, love, enjoy. And y'all are hanging out also. Who cares? It's not like they don't know. I'm, like, trying to make sense of this. It's not like nobody knows about them. It's not like it would be so weird that they would hang out because, I don't know, like, if I saw Alex and, like, if I were in LA and I saw Alex and Summer, I would be like, oh, okay, yeah, they're on a show together. I would be like, oh my God, are they a thing? I mean, maybe I would. I probably would. But the point is, like, I'm just, like, not picking up what Alex is. I'm not buying it. I'm not picking up what he's putting down. And I'm with Summer. Like, I kind of feel like if Summer was really feeling him that much, we would see more evidence of that. But the only thing she's saying is, like, you're disrespecting me in our group of friends and also playing in my face, acting like you don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't appreciate that when you've had sex with me, bro. Like, you owe me a little bit more than that, than, like, any of the other girls in the cast. Like, I'm just owed a little bit more respect. I don't know. I don't think that's that weird. And I also feel like Summer wouldn't have felt like she had to make that point in front of everybody had he not acted stupid and, like, he didn't know what she was talking about. And so she had to make a further point to be like, no, this is why I demand respect from you. Because he was trying to play her in her face in the beginning. Had he just apologized, I don't think she would have spilled all that. I really don't. I'm thinking because, like, maybe I would have behaved like Summer in a past life. And I'm just like, I'm with her. Hashtag I'm with her. Okay, here's what it is. I feel like he plays dumb in women's faces. And then when they advocate for themselves, he is like, whoa, this is a lot. When, like, he could have just owned up to his shit in the first place. And I don't like that. And I'm seeing red flags, okay? All this over a singular fucking picture. A picture that is now all over national television that wouldn't have happened had you just been like, hey, I'm sorry, that wasn't cool of me. I should have invited you. Like, yeah, my bad, right? So Amir asks, like, do you think Summer and you were on the same page now? He's like, yeah, you know, I told her we could be cool. And Nick goes, oh, you think you could re-beat? All of America was like, what? Amir and Alex are like, what is re-beat? Like, he's really trying to make fetch happen here. So Nick has to explain in a confessional. You know, beat, to beat is a delicate term for intimacy, right? And so he tells Alex, Summer's a baddie, bro. Like, you have to re-beat. And so Amir, how embarrassing is it that you're trying to make up a thing, a little slang phrase, and two of your boys are like, what? I'd be so embarrassed. And I think this may have been the start of Nick spiraling. He's all hopped up on orange juice, a little drunk, trying to make up phrases. And everything just goes from bad to worse from him for the rest of the episode. So Amir's like, Nick, why are you trying to pressure Alex into having sex with Summer? Like, nah, you gotta hit it just one more time, bro. Like, and tell me about it. So then Amir says in a confessional, why are you telling him to re-beat? Is it because you want to beat? Because it's giving. Like, why are you so hopped up on how hot Summer is? So Nick then asks Amir what he would do. And he's like, I'm not going to go there. Like, Natalie would cut my dick off. So it seems like they're having a decades party that most of the people had not prepared for this. Like, they didn't get the RuPaul's Drag Race costume list like the Summer House Hamptons people get before they pack. Like, here are all the theme parties that we're having this summer. Pack accordingly. Put your Amazon checklist up accordingly, right? That didn't happen. So people are just, like, pulling together things that they've got. Nick tries to pull out this, like, white jacket, like a tennis jacket, right? And Alex goes, that's not really cosplay. That's just, like, what you would wear on a Tuesday, Nick. That's not... What is that? So Noelle says in a confessional that she's got this, like, costume parties, themes, dressing up has a real true meaning to her. We're seeing pictures of her from high school, like the theme homecoming weeks where you'd be like, oh, dress up spirit week. You know, she's telling us in a confessional about how one of the only ways growing up that she was able to truly embrace who she was by dressing up. And so it's like this deep way to find out how unique people are by coming up with a theme, and like everybody has to figure out a way to express it. Okay, girl. Okay. Jasmine goes up first in, like, I honestly don't know. Like hot Aunt Jemima. I probably shouldn't say that. But she says that she's a 50s housewife. She tries to do a little spin, loses her white pump halfway through the 360. And she's like, you know, I'm a 50s housewife, blah, blah, blah. Like, I cook, I clean, blah, blah, blah. Amir, this is the Amir that makes me laugh. He says in a confessional, I thought the point of this was to not dress up like yourself, right? Because it's giving. Preston chooses the 90s. His inspiration is the movie Juice, right? I guess during his impression, we don't really see it, but he's kind of like grabbing his junk, right? Because Shanice just goes, yeah, hold that dick. Hold it. You're my favorite. And Shanice is my favorite. Summer's dressed up 70s inspired. So is Noelle. So Noelle's like, oh, okay. Is anybody else in the crowd, anybody in the audience dressed like they're from the 70s? Nick stands up and he's like, oh, me. I'm dressed like Arthur Ashe. Nobody knows who he is. Which is tragedy. Tragic. He's like this legendary black tennis player. Bria asks Siri who it is in a confessional. And she looks at her phone and sees a picture of Arthur. She goes, oh, he looks like Nick. Which He does. Nick gets booed by everybody, which feels both unfair and honestly appropriate. Shanice, her outfit is just athleisure. It's just a sports bra and some leggings. And they're like, what are you? She's like, I'm giving basic. And she just starts twerking and everybody starts laughing at her. I think Jasmine tries to help her by saying that she's giving blaxploitation. Which also doesn't help at all. I'm not sure where you're getting that from. But also, what? So then, like I said, she's still twerking. Everybody's laughing. Bria says, you look like a working girl. Like, you look like, you know, you're shimmying on the corner and giving something to your fellas, right? You look like a working girl. And everybody's like, oh, laughing. Poor Shanice doesn't understand what the term working girl is. I'm with that. I'm a good working girl. That's what Preston has to explain to her. No, a working girl's like a sex worker, Shanice. Bria goes up next, and she's like the 2000s. She says her inspiration is like J-Lo, Jenny from the Block. She starts rapping. She tells us in a confessional, we get some more flashbacks to high school memories, that she was in a girl group called Greater Than. Can I say that I was not surprised that she used to wear blue colored contacts back in the day? And also, she says she had no rhythm, and that's why she didn't make it in the girl group. That did not surprise me. Moving on. Amir dresses up like 2010's Nick Arrington. I finally figured out what that hat he wears is called. It's called a boater hat. What did I type in? Old man hats that men used to, like, sing in. You know? quartet hat. Man quartet hat. And like, oh, it's a boater hat. And then during this, Nick starts play fighting with Jordan. And by that, I mean, he's like, he's trying to play fight with Jordan as she's saying, back up off me. This is a one-sided fight. So after that, everybody goes up. They try to vote on who is the best dressed. Preston starts winning. He starts getting like 1, 2, 3 votes, right? Nick gets all sensitive about this, like Shep style. Finding out that he's losing in a completely inconsequential game goes off. He tries to get all technical with the rules as to why Preston shouldn't win and why he was being historically accurate. And everybody's like, oh, never mind. We don't even want to finish. Loser. And then Shanice flashes everybody in the kitchen. Nick is genuinely in his feelings. Truly. And I truly think that he started to spiral once those guys didn't want to catch on to Rebeat. I really do. And like, it's just been worse for him. He gets all in his feelings. He goes to the bunk room and is like, I don't know why everybody's picking on me. Sir. Alex is like, just bark back. You know, like, if you feel like people are coming for you, just bark back. So everybody is like, okay, let's go swimming, do a little midnight swim. But then it starts raining. So they just like, okay, let's play a game called Spill the Tea or Pop a Squat. Or I don't know what it was called. Those words were said. Shanice pulls the first card and it says like, everybody has to take a shot. But, you know, Jasmine's in the family way. She doesn't know it yet. She really is doing 50s housewife. She's literally barefoot and pregnant. Nobody knows. So not everybody wants a shot. It's like getting pretty late. She's like, you guys are losers. I'm getting shots for everybody. So she's in the kitchen making shots. And Amir pulls out a question of who is the worst dresser in the group. And Summer goes, I would say Shanice. But I love her. She's not a bad person. And Preston tries to clean it up by being like, well, listen, like we all dress well. So it's kind of like saying who's the worst out of the best dressed, right? Noelle says in a confessional, I'm surprised to hear her say that because it's like, damn, Shanice, like, or Summer, like, that's your girlfriend. Also, that wasn't even the question that you were supposed to answer, so I was just really surprised that she was so quick to answer it. Like, that was shady boots. So Summer hears Shanice talking about her, so she goes over and is like, why am I the worst dressed? Because I'm the realest one and y'all wear fake shit? And everybody looks at her like, oh, okay. Because she just kind of got in front of them and started wagging her finger like a Disney Channel original movie bully. Like, this is a lot of energy, okay, for clothes talk. So then they kind of start not paying attention to poor Shanice. And so she goes upstairs like, you guys are fuckers, and like stomps upstairs. But they're all just like kikiing and having a good time. So really the only one who notices is Bria. And so Summer's telling everybody like, am I wrong though? Like, I'm not wrong. So Bria goes upstairs. Shanice is in the bathroom. So she knocks on the door and is like, are you crying? And she goes, yeah, because who the fuck says that? Summer? Of course, because that bitch is stupid. So then Shanice is like crying and she tells Bria, like, I don't have a job right now. I don't have money to buy clothes. And she says in a confessional that the reason why Summer's comment hurt is because she had gotten transferred. She was working in Phoenix. Her job transferred her to Tampa and then they laid her off. Summer knew all that. She signed up for the show before she got laid off. So it was too late. She's like, I can do some of the things, but like, I just can't do certain things, right? And this led me to wonder, like, what are the checks like for season two? And maybe it's different for Shanice because she wasn't full-time last season. So maybe they got her on like a, I don't know if you guys know this, but MTV with the Teen Mom franchise, the 16 and Pregnant universe, if you will, cinematic universe. The girls who are on like Teen Mom, they'll do seasons into like season 7A, season 7B. So you might see like technically two full seasons of Teen Mom in a calendar year, but it'll be like season, like I said, they'll break it up into season A or and season B. The reason why they do that is that they don't have to renegotiate their contracts, aka pay the women more money. They can like kind of delay the process, right? So I'm wondering if maybe they did that with Shanice, like they're giving her a season 1B check, meaning the same check that she got from this, and maybe the other people graduated to a bigger check, but maybe that didn't happen for Shanice because she was the only part-time person who has since moved to full-time in season two. So I'm wondering, like, and also what's the delay on the checks? Are we a 90-day, 60-day? When are they getting paid? From the time you guys sign the contracts, from the time y'all get the first check hits your account, because I know y'all get paced out for the season. What's the time on that? What's the time? Like, when in the, are they getting paid in the summer at any point? I'd like to know. Because with Housewives, not to get too in the weeds, but with Housewives, I believe most of them are locked into a contract where they get paid either every, by the scene in an episode or by being in an episode. But with this cast, it's even got to be different from regular Summer House because not everybody's there every weekend. You know what I mean? They must be getting paid like below deck, right? Because you have to assume we're all just in this one house. Nobody's leaving. You're going to be in every episode. So they can't be like, oh, we're going to pay you per episode because everybody's going to be in one. So they must just pay them like a flat fee, I would think, right? Anyway, now at this point, everybody's downstairs thinking that maybe they actually did hurt Shanice's feelings. And Preston says, well, maybe what happened is that she heard us in the kitchen talking about her and she thought we were just talking shit and we weren't like still playing the game. We didn't pull a card where a question was asked. So they go upstairs to tell her like, girl, just come back downstairs. Because if you don't, then like everybody will win. Like, let's just get over this, right? And then I really had to crack up because Shanice has been boohooing like hard. And I've been feeling for her. Okay, like you don't have money coming in. You can't, you know, and then you're on TV and you're feeling like everybody just said that your shit is whack. And, you know, that's a bummer. And she's, you know, been in the cups all day. But then we find out that the reason why she's really upset is because they didn't say that Nick was the worst dressed. Which is funny for multiple reasons, because clearly he is the one who's, he's like Mr. Ralph Lauren Purple Label. He's clearly the one who's spending the most on his clothes by far. And I guess it must be a thing. They must all be clowning him, because why is she so, like, why didn't you say Nick? That is why Shanice is an MVP, and that's why she deserved to be here full time. That is very funny. That is very funny. Summer finally comes upstairs to check in on Shanice and tell her, girl, it was just a game. And Shanice goes, no, I know it was a game, but like, still, you should have put my name in it. So now we got the truth booth, right? Their little confessional room that they get to tell their truth in the house. So Summer is in the truth booth with Noelle. And she tells her, no shade, but when I'm around Shanice, it's always just a top and some shorts that she's wearing. That's not best dress material. But then Noelle tells her, I think it was maybe just that you said her name so quickly. Like, you didn't even have to think about it, right? And Summer looks at her and goes, well, because I didn't have to. And then she tells Shanice, like, listen, we're a beautiful group of girls. Like, nobody really dresses bad, right? And so they decide, we're just going to turn up. They're turning up the music, throwing ass. Shanice is in this little pink bikini, shaking it, on the feet on the couch, maybe 3 inches from Nick's face is her left cheek, and she's throwing it hard. And she says, you know, I might be going through stuff, but you turn on the music and I'm good. I'm good. I'm on vacation. I don't want to think about feelings. So Nick is like having the time of his life, trying like in a museum, like don't touch the art. Don't touch the art. During this, Amir is now like, he's shaken. Let me just text my girlfriend because I'm on camera and I'm just going to be like, just talk to her so she can't yell at me later. So he's texting her. He clearly drunk, probably doesn't really want to talk to Natalie and probably just wants to have a good time with his friends, but is just coming up with anything at all to text Natalie. So he says, what do I eat now? What do I eat now, babe? And she responds, huh? That's so random. It makes me think that that was meant for a different person. So he now sees the text and is like, here go hell come. He goes into the bunk room to call Natalie and ask her, why are you being weird? And she says, well, it sounded like from that text I got that you were texting somebody else because that didn't have any place in our conversation. And Amir goes, okay, well, that sounds a little accusatory. And she goes, it's not accusatory. Are you good? And so Amir goes, not really. And then he pulls his, like, I'm long-suffering best boyfriend award. Oh, there are girls dancing downstairs and I'm like avoiding it. And, you know, honestly, Nick is still down there and I think that's very inappropriate. Like, you didn't even have to bring Nick into this. So then he says in a confessional that if this were me and I were Nick sitting downstairs while Shanice is throwing ass, Natalie would have me by the throat. And at this point, I'm like, I'm concerned for you, Amir. You have mentioned, it's two episodes, not even at the end of episode two, and you've mentioned 14 times that your girlfriend would commit physical acts of extreme violence against you. And I just want to ask you, Amir, blink twice if you need help. Blink twice. So Natalie, after she hears him talking about how the girl's throwing cake downstairs and how he's not there being a good boy by the bunk bed, she goes, are you upset about that, having to be upstairs? And he goes, no. And then we see my kind of carrying on at the end of the night. The girls are downstairs, like, they're clearly still listening to music. But Noelle's got this, you know, her 409. She's just spraying the counters in the kitchen, like, let's clean. It's like, wake up in the morning and not have to worry about it. Like, I was like, yes. This is the summer house that I want to be in. That kitchen is so spotless that Preston wakes up and he comes downstairs in the morning and he goes, there had to have been a cleaning crew that came in this morning because there's no way. There's no way. We were so drunk. So Shanice tells the guys, everybody piles down in the kitchen. They're making breakfast. And Shanice tells the guys, oh, I sent out some nudes. And we see one. And then she tells them that she just didn't send a nude. She sent multiple nudes. And also that she's got this whole roster of men who get the good morning titty text, but some of them don't. Like, they get different text messages, different nudes, based on how high up on the ranking they are. God bless her. God bless her. Turns out Noelle plays chess. Like, the Bryn Whitfield jumped out. She's talking about how she's, like, real, a real chess player, going to Washington Square Park to play with the boys. That's, like, some real shit. That's some real New York shit, playing chess at Washington Square Park or any park in New York. I want like, a little web series with Noelle and Bryn just, like, you know, being light-skinned and cute and playing chess and other sort of pursuits around the city. I really would like that. Meanwhile, Jordan's upstairs. She's FaceTiming with her dad, saying she got this deal with a wig product line. She's going to be coming from the perspective of somebody with alopecia. So Jordan tells us in a confessional that her type of alopecia is hereditary. It's due to an autoimmune disease that causes bald spots. And then she tells us that, like, 4 years ago, she had done a photo shoot and they relaxed her hair and it kind of, like, fucked up her whole shit since then. And also on top of that, she's got a breakout of the alopecia. So her whole, like, front of her hair is gone. All the edges. Okay. And, you know, she's, like, doing units and all this stuff. Right. So this is, like, a really great partnership for her. And I think this is going to be a lot of her storyline. We'll hear more about later this season. I'm looking forward to that. So after that, the house breaks up. Some of them go to lunch. Some of them go to the gym. Jordan, Preston, they're the brunch girlies, right? Jordan says on the way, they're also with Summer, Nick has been really on my body since we've been here. And Summer says, yeah, mine too. And then we see several flashbacks of this in the past, what, 42 hours of Nick being touchy-feely, calling them sexy, taking pictures of them, like, really up close, and, oh, I'm going to be on you all week. Like, he's really being close. Preston says there's something that becomes more handsy when he's drunk, and I don't think his girlfriend Tayshia would appreciate it. Jordan says in a confessional, I don't think Nick is inappropriate per se. I just think he gets a little flirty when he gets a drink in him. But then Preston says, remember when I told Nick, I actually think he wanted to break up with Tayshia. And Summer says, I think he does too. Preston says in a confessional that Nick being flirty and touchy and potentially even disrespecting Tayshia is not surprising to him. I mean, nor should it be surprising to us because we all saw this shit last season where he was acting like he didn't even know what the definition of a girlfriend was until suddenly we found out that he had one the whole time. The whole time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And they were like, girl, we didn't find out about you until about 12 hours before you flew in, girl. We didn't know what was going on with Nick. A girlfriend. Wild stuff. So then Preston tells the girls, like, somebody's got to nip this in the bud, right? Then Preston says he thinks because Nick got caught sliding in all the DMs last summer, he didn't want to also be the bad guy to, like, then also break up with Tayshia, right? So Summer says if he wants to be out here and be a fuckboy, he just needs to own it. So then we go over to the gym. Bria is impressing the hell out of everybody because, listen, girl group, owner of Milo, former gymnast. She's on those rings that hang from the ceiling doing the little spin with the shoulder. And everybody's like, girl, what's going on? Amir tries it. He, you know, he's doing it. He's getting his gains or whatever. Alex, who is such a loser, he's like, well, I saw Amir do it. So he just gets up there all cocky and then practically dislocates his shoulder. And he really, you could tell he really was like, oh, I feel bad. Shanice says in a confessional that working out for her has been really helpful to get over things like losing her job and the stalking charges from last year that her ex claimed she was doing. You know, things like that. Back to brunch. What is going on with this establishment? The food looked incredible. But y'all either got to, like, look back at their cocktail situation. Either get smaller glasses and fill the cup up. But if I'm going to a restaurant and I'm ordering an espresso martini and you're only giving me half a glass, I'm going to be like, where's the rest of it? You know, like, where is it? If you're going to serve it to me in this big ass glass, I'm expecting a big ass glass full. Don't serve me half what looks like half a drink. The optics just aren't great. Even if it is the full drink, but you serve it to me in a big thing, it just looks like, you know what I mean? That bothers me. Get smaller glasses, this restaurant, if that's all you're going to serve. Clearly that really bothered me. Anyway, Summer says that she wants to check in with Shanice later because she feels like Shanice has a tendency to blow up about things, but they don't really know what's going on with her until she blows up and she's leaving and being theatrical. So back to the gym, they're asking Shanice, like, why did that comment about you being worse dressed upset you so much? And she says, I think it was because it was Summer that said it. And she does point to a moment where while everybody was getting ready to go out, Summer does ask Shanice, do you have like a jacket or a sweater or something that I could borrow? And Shanice goes, oh, I thought I was worse dressed. And they're laughing about it. But Shanice is telling them at the gym, she told them, I was like, bitch, get out of my room. I thought I was the worst dressed one. She didn't even check on me like afterwards when I was stamping up the stairs last night. So I just feel like she's disingenuous. So Shanice says in a confessional, and this was like, huh? That Summer is in fact jealous of her because while they were on vacation in Jamaica, Shanice was telling her about all these guys that she was pulling, talking to. And apparently these guys are, in her words, guys with status. They're not just 9-to-5er type dudes. And that Summer's response to this was, how do you talk to these men? And Shanice was like, what do you mean? Like, look at me. Who wouldn't want to date me? So this is her estimation of what happened in Jamaica. So she tells everybody at the gym, I feel like Summer was like clingy and like kind of bullying me. And we just don't really have that kind of rapport that like I can really talk to her about it. So I'm confused now because she's saying, okay, you feel like Summer is coming at you and saying that you whack your dress whack because you're a baddie. And she's jealous of the man that you pull. Okay. But then you're also saying, we're not really even close like that. So even though she hurt my feelings, I can't even approach her about that because our relationship isn't that deep. So what are you upset about? You know what I mean? Like, I thought we already hashed this out and resolved this. So now I'm confusion. I still think you're a delight, Shanice, but I have question marks. I'm just confused. The last person who needed to overhear this conversation about Summer was Alex, because now he's like, oh, he's sitting in the background like he just had a fucking revelation. And so he says in a confessional, you know, I never really thought about Summer that way, but I do feel like there's a lot of like weird energy, and that's surprising. And it's not a good look for her. Who gives a fuck what you think, Alex? You God, who cares what looks you think she has? Like, who gives a shit? And I just feel like he's using that to, like, again, shame her, make her feel bad. Because not last summer were you trying to also do this to Shanice about her relationship with some dude that you don't know? And you were like, wow, I didn't know all this. Gee. She's not who I thought she was. Whatever, dude. Whatever. Whatever. So Amir asks Shanice if she's going to put things to rest. And she's like, maybe tomorrow, but I'm going to get fucked up tonight. So back to the brunch. They're all talking about how Shanice really just needs to be more honest about her feelings and let them know in the moment. Summer says in a confessional, Shanice doesn't really ever show her emotions. And that even when they were in Jamaica, they never had any sort of deep conversation. She just doesn't really feel like she can get there with Shanice. And she can only show up as much as people allow her to. So then Preston, Jordan, and Summer are like talking about their dating lives, right? Summer says, listen, I date. And then Preston asks Summer, like, how was Alex in bed? Thank you, Preston. Asking the real question. So she goes, oh. And then just puts her head in her hand and goes, Preston goes, oh, it wasn't good. And she says, well, listen, Alex's fun. He's a good cuddler. Great kisser. And then they show a flashback of Summer last season in a confessional. And the lower third says, before the D. So Summer says, you know, I'm the type of person that more likes to make love. And I feel like Alex would be a great lovemaker. So then we get her post-D assessment, if you will. And Summer says, you know, it wasn't as passionate as I would like. It was just, Alex is a great kisser. You know, it's not quickies, but it's just not there yet. So then they ask Alex in a confessional how sex was with Summer. And he goes, oh, I'm not even going to answer that. So then she tells Preston and Jordan, like, Alex isn't even on the roster. So then we circle back to Noelle. Because remember in episode one, she initially had said, oh, I'm kind of interested in Alex. And I talked to Summer about it. And she said it was, like, no issue. So Noelle tells them, and I'm not sure who she's referring to, Alex or Summer, but that one of them is not showing who they really are so that it doesn't get to a sexual point. And all the girls are looking at Noelle and say, oh, but they already fucked. And Noelle says, oh, I didn't know that. But then Bria brings up a good point of, how is that possible that Noelle doesn't know that? Because Summer just told everybody 2 days ago at the dinner table. But then we see that Noelle was like real deep into those crab legs and she was really getting to cracking. So it's possible that she did not hear this at all. And she was just having a time at the other end of the table. So Noelle says in a confessional that before they came into the house, she told Summer, Alex is my type, which I actually could find kind of a little surprising. Like, I mean, I don't know anything about Noelle, but it just seems like she would like somebody a little bit different from Alex. I don't know. But she asked, like, what's your history with Alex? Because he's my type. And Summer told her, it's cool. Nothing to worry about. We just hung out. But in her mind, there's a difference between hanging out and having sex. So they ask Noelle, why do you think Summer just didn't tell you the truth? And she's like, I don't know, but I'm going to have to talk to her about that. And I think this is a miscommunication. Well, I know it's a miscommunication because it comes up. But I feel like, I'm like, we don't have to be team anybody on this one. But I think Noelle is like maybe misconstruing things a little bit. So after that, Jordan approaches Summer about how she handled the Alex situation and how it may have raised some concerns with people. And Summer says, yeah, facts. Like, I totally get that. I think I need to communicate better. I see how I came off. In a confessional, she says that her situation with Alex was like fun, nothing serious. She really never thought about him in that way. So she says, I feel like I should apologize. Like, we should move on. Noelle can explore Nick if she wants. Or she says Nick. She meant to say Alex. And then she goes, oh, I meant Alex, not Nick. And Preston goes, well, maybe that was a Freudian slip. So we end the episode back at home. And Alex has one of those, like, Theraguns to his shoulder that he blew out trying to be an Olympic gymnast. And that really made me laugh. So Noelle goes to, like, confront Summer about the Alex situation, right? And Noelle told you, like, you never told me that y'all did fuck. I just thought that he was trying to, right? So give me a rundown of what happened. Like, what's the truth? So Summer says, like, it was just convenient. Like, I don't really hold any weight towards the situation, which is why I told you before. If you want to go forward, go ahead, because I'm already seeing other people. Which, hold on. Noelle says, okay, but I didn't know that you guys fucked because I don't do that. What do you mean? Okay, well, that's you. So Summer's in the truth booth saying, okay, if I told you I hung out with somebody and that we did stuff, I really don't owe you an explanation of like what specifics I do with that person, especially if you don't know who that other person is. But now you're irritated with me because I didn't tell you enough. You wanted to pursue the man that I hung out with. Like, I totally understand. Like, first of all, didn't Summer and Noelle meet because Summer's fucking her roommate and they had some deep late night conversation when Summer was like getting a glass of water or something from being fucked by her roommate? So you know that she's not really that interested in Alex. It doesn't seem like y'all are friends in the sense that she needs to be telling you about her mileage. And I think she said, like, at my grown age, if somebody told me I hung out with a dude, I'm just gonna go ahead and assume that y'all hooked up. And now to put this, like, respectability spin on it, and I don't think she meant to, like, shame her, but it was a little shaming by being like, well, I don't do that, so I needed you to be a little bit more explicit. Like, okay, well, I don't know what you do or don't do in your bedroom. So me needing to, like, having to explain what I do in my bedroom to make you feel better is not something that I'm going to do. Especially because you don't really even know that guy. You just are like, oh, he's cute. He's, I think, my type. But you didn't know him. And technically, you don't know him still. It's not even like they're at a place where there's interest. There's been flirtation between Alex and Noelle. Like, we're good. We're all in a very preliminary stage. Everything's fine. So then Nick is, all the boys are in the boys' room. Nick's doing push-ups for reasons unknown. They just came from the gym. But Alex says that when Amir was in the gym working on his fitness, the girls were like kind of getting a little moist watching him. And he asks him, how would Natalie feel if she saw that? Is she nervous around the other girls? And Amir says, well, the last thing that I would want ever is for Natalie to feel like she's got to watch over her shoulder or mine. But, like, I want to engage with my friends, too. Like, if I were to tell her Shanice was twerking on my face, she'd be like, well, what did you do? You know? And they're like, well, why don't you just say that you sat there like I did? This is what Nick says. And so Preston goes, do you think that's what you did? Just sit there? And Alex and Amir just burst out laughing and say, well, this dude's nuts, bro. And so then Preston says, Nick, like, don't you think that maybe you get a little handsy with people? Nick says, I didn't touch anybody last night. And Preston says, okay, I'm just going to walk out then. And Nick goes, no, like, tell me for real. So Preston says, you get a little handsy. You do. And Alex says, it doesn't come off, like, terrible, but, like, there is a gray area. And then I love when Amir tries to get philosophical because it's really, like, just a touch above his pay grade. And he tries. He tries so hard. And you have to give credit to people for trying. And he says, you need to understand how your actions could be interpreted to you being a fuckboy. And Preston goes, interpreted, but go off. And Amir goes, well, I gotta be in English, okay? So Preston tells Nick, a lot of women in the house talk to me, and I do think that maybe Summer and Jordan will probably talk to you about it. Like, we love you. It's not like you're a sleaze. It's just that, like, they don't really know what your comfort level is with Tasia. Maybe Tasia would be offended by it and how you've been acting. And Nick goes, no, she wouldn't be offended because she knows me. She trusts me. I haven't given her a reason not to. Like, huh? Did you not allow her to watch season one? Tasia is the most trusting woman in America. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what is it that he's saying to her that's getting that way? Because even the most trusting woman would be like, sir, why are you DMing multiple of your housemates fire emojis and being like, you're hot? That doesn't, nothing about that raises a single, like, even if you have a very strong relationship, I think the most confident of women be like, why did you, at least be like, why did you feel the need to do that? You know? Because that's not what we do here. But okay, Tasia, like, if you like it, I love it. Rub that little peanut head all you want. make his glasses clean at night, and tell him that he looks like Arthur Ashe. But anyway, so he says in a confessional, like, I want to brush this off as nothing, but like, it's perplexing to me because Summer and Jordan are so comfortable around me. Like, we just cook it so often. So it was just like, if that's how they feel, then why haven't they said anything? It doesn't make any sense. Before we get to the end of the episode, I just want to say that Bria is downstairs blowing up a blow up doll for, I'm guessing, a party that they're doing. And they do tell Nick that that's his girlfriend. And we're just going to move on real quickly. Actually, we're going to go back to Preston saying, Nick, that's your friend. And Bria saying, that's your girlfriend. And Preston being like, I just tried to say friend. And that really cracked me up. But we'll move on. So truly the end of the episode is Nick going into the bedroom. Jordan and Summer are sharing the room. They're taking a nap. And he's like pacing around the bed. He's like, I just feel uncomfortable. And he's like, I just need to ask you guys, do I ever make you guys uncomfortable? And Jordan says, well, you do get handsy. And Summer just goes, that. And we end. On that we end. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. The preview where Jasmine tries to ask if they should bring Phil back. Phil the toilet, not flush it? That gentleman? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Even if that man hadn't decided to revenge shit in a toilet because he didn't get the room that he had told somebody he wanted, there was no communication as to whether or not he wanted that room designated to him. And then when he found out that it went to somebody else because they got there like 2 days before him, he shat in the toilet and didn't flush. And they had to ask him to leave. And his behavior outside of that was weird as shit, too. He was getting all weird with Jordan. If they bring Phil back, I'm going to have to take an Advil before that episode. Oh, Lord. Help us all. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. If you guys want to check out the merch, it's in the episode description. The link is right there. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.